Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, wonderful. If you're brand new with us, my name is Dave. I'm the pastor here, and I just want to say welcome, and I just love seeing your smiling faces. If we have not met yet, I want to make sure that I do meet you. That is of the utmost importance to me. My philosophy is this, is you, before I have a chance to speak into your life, you need to know who this joker is. And so it gives me a chance to get to know you, you get to know us, my wife and I always say this all the time, if you ever want to do coffee, or feed us, we love being fed, and we love hearing your heart. Every once in a while, I just got invited to watch somebody play hockey, so we're going to watch you play hockey at some point, because Red Wings are, never mind, I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I go to basketball games, ball games, I love connecting with all of you, regardless of ages, we love connecting with all of you. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 19. Jonathan, I'm going to go a tad out of order in the beginning, so heads up, bro. Can we give it up for a tech team? Goodness gracious. I always say they are the ministry that nobody notices unless something goes wrong, then everybody notices and they get the bad rap. I grew up with a pastor that had a phone next to his chair on the platform that would constantly call the sound booth, and I vowed I would not be that person. I used to be the person up there, so I totally, totally understand. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? Psalm 19, I'm going to go to verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Would you pray with me? Jesus, to you, we point our lives, we point our hearts, and Lord, we do exactly what Pastor Olivia challenged us to do, Lord. We tear down idols, the things that we have served, that we have put before you, and Lord, we reduce them to ashes in order that, God, we be lifted up, because we know this morning that if we lift up a personality, then, Lord, this is nothing more than a TED Talk, but if we lift you up, you're the one that's going to draw all people unto you. We need transformed lives and transformed hearts. And so therefore, Holy Spirit, we recognize you and we ask that you would just make us different. Metamorphosize these lives into the image that you want to show this world, that people through our lives will taste and see and know that you're good. We don't want to walk away from this place the same way that we walked in. Make us more like you, Jesus. So Father, we're here. Meet with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you turn around, give someone a high five and just say, I hope the Lions draft really good this year. For some reason, the pastor of this church scheduled a board meeting on Thursday when the draft is at, and so I'm just going to give the board a heads up. We're going to have kind of a shorter meeting this week. Priorities, maybe something like that. We'll dive in. I watch random videos when I'm just trying to kind of debrief the day. I'm laying in bed, I can't get right to sleep, like last night. And I will just watch random videos online, just I like stupid stuff, silly stuff. And I came across a video that said, how old is your hearing? And now, I'm 48, and I'm always testing better than what I am. And so, like the video, what it does is it starts off at the age 100. And it plays a very low frequency. And then all of a sudden in the video, the age starts counting down and the frequency starts going higher, because the higher the frequency, the younger your ears are. So younger people, kids, can actually hear higher frequencies than what us adults can actually hear. And so what I did was I had my finger on my phone ready to hit pause as it was reducing the age, and I closed my eyes because I didn't want to cheat. I wanted to hit pause when I stopped being able to hear the frequency, because then it was too high for me, and I wanted to know what age I fell at. So as a 48-year-old, I want to give testimony to how good my ears are. I have the ears of a 46-year-old. Take that. Take that, aging. I always want to start it all over. I'm like, I got to do better than that. But I think I was doing this little turn my head. I'm like, okay, I legitimately can't hear anything anymore. And yeah, I'm at the ripe old age of 36, almost snuck myself into the young adults group, apparently, that if you feel that way, you could show up. I would love if every one of you, no matter what age, showed up because of that rule right there. I get questions all the time about hearing. Not like audible hearing, but I get questions all the time about hearing from God. I want to hear from God regarding this or regarding that. It comes up a lot as a pastor. And the staff would attest, we get questions all the time. I want to learn how to hear from God. I want to hear from God regarding this this decision I've got to make. I've got houses that I like, and there's three houses that we're looking to buy, and I just want to get God's direction on that specific, on the specific house he wants us to have. And so most of the time, when people talk to me about hearing from God, they're talking about what I would call the unrevealed will of God. Because we've got what I would consider the revealed word of God, the will of God, I should say, and the unrevealed will of God. The unrevealed will of God are things that just are lingering out there that you just want a little bit of direction. But when I talk about the revealed will of God, I think that we don't have to look any further than what we have in front of us. And now, granted, I'd like to call this a book. This is actually not a book. This is a library of 66 books, some of which are shorter than the others. There are some, let's be real, a little more confusing than the others. Sorry for some of you Leviticus specialists. There are some things that are a little bit more confusing, takes a little bit more thought. Some of you want me to start talking Revelation. By the way, in the fall, I'm going to do a class on Revelation. I'm going to teach you how to read Revelation. And if you're showing up expecting me to list out everything that's happening in this world and everything, you're going to be sorely disappointed. I want to teach you how to read Revelation because why? It's one of the most confusing books in the entirety of Scripture. But I believe right here that you can find, and I've seen people estimate anything from 75% to 90% of the will of God you can find right here. And there are some things people come to me to ask me to pray through. Would you pray that God would speak to me? Because I'm trying to decide whether or not I should keep sleeping with that person that's not my spouse. And I'm like, you don't have to pray about that. God already spoke about it. Because like Netflix and chill shouldn't happen if you're not married. Somebody like, what does that mean? Let somebody else explain it to you later. Not in church, do it elsewhere. But when it comes to hearing from God, we so often start praying about things that God has already revealed, that God has already spoken. But quite often, people come to me because they are not content with what he's revealed. They want to know what God has not revealed. But I'm here to say this. If we want to know God's unrevealed will, we have to first pay attention to his revealed will. Man, so often, we're just, God, speak to me about this. Speak to me about this. And I'm here to say this. Maybe we need to stop ourselves and actually go to the word before we ask for a word. Because if we would go to the word before we ask for a word, we wouldn't need the word that we actually need. And we got to get to the place where we have a hunger and a desire to dive in the feast on this word. We're in this series called Chapter 2, and the crux of the series is this. I look at salvation as Chapter 1. I've asked Jesus into my life. I've put my faith in Christ. That's Chapter 1. But God has not desired for us to live and operate in Chapter 1 for the rest of our life. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to grow. He wants us to step into something in the church we call discipleship, and that's what I call Chapter 2. It's turning the page and moving our lives forward, and you cannot grow in your relationship with Christ without having a desire for the Word of God. And if you want to know the will of God, get into the Word of God, because when you're in the Word of God, you will understand and better get a hold of the will of God. Because I will say this, that God will never give you a word that will be in contradiction to what he has already spoken. That's who he is. And so, well, I just want God to speak to me. I'm here to say this. Why would God want to tell us things that are not revealed if we have no interest in what he's already revealed? We got to get to the place where we recognize the importance of the Scriptures. Now, I wanted this whole series to be really born out of the New Testament. And I couldn't really get past what we read even last week when Jesus, one of the first times that we see Jesus speaking in public, what does he do? He is actually asked to read the Scriptures. He's actually told to read the book of Isaiah. And we read it last week, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I don't have the eyes of a 48-year-old, apparently. And it came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as it was a custom, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. I'm here to say this. The Old Testament scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament, they would have referred to as the prophets. They would have referred to it as Torah. They would have had different terminology that we would have used, but what we call the Old Testament, these scriptures were important to Jesus. They were important in his upbringing. They were important in his development. And he, from the age of zero all the way till 33 when he was crucified, he loved and enjoyed the scriptures. They were foundational for his life, and they were fundamental for the growth in his life to grow closer to the Father. That was important for Jesus. They were foundational and they were fundamental for his growth. And in fact, if you do a study of the 18,000 words that are used of Jesus in the Gospels, 1,800 of them, 10% of all Jesus' words were either quoting the Old Testament or alluding to the Old Testament. 10% of all Jesus' words were bringing up scripture. And if they're important to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, I bet you they should be important to us. And it's so important for us to get into the Word of God, to understand what the Word of God says. Because again, God will never give you a direction that will be contrary to what he has already revealed. For example, we just came through tax season. How many are just blessed by tax season? Nope, don't put your hand down. You work for the IRS, don't you? I'm kidding. I know she doesn't. She works for Bethany. I know exactly where she works for. But how many of you know that even though it's quite easy to fudge a number here or there to make things a little bit better, and I've had people say, well, I kind of have a loose interpretation of numbers because the government probably owes me. I'm here to say, number one, don't mess with the IRS. And number two, maybe that should be reversed, it's lying. And just because the lying is okay in your mind, in your context, doesn't mean it's okay to God. And so when God says that you shouldn't lie, guess what? Don't lie. If God says don't steal, don't steal. If God says don't sleep with people that you're not married to, don't sleep with people that you're not married to. It's just what God says is what he says. And so sometimes we just want to get selective with what we read. And I've had people say to me all the time, well, Pastor, in this modern age, like, I love Jesus, I love the Lord, but I just don't believe in everything that the Bible says. And I'm here to say this, if this is the written revelation, God inspired individuals to pen out these words specifically for us, well, for people of that day, that we get to now benefit from, I'm here to say this, he didn't make a mistake, and he's not here to abide by whatever our cultural standards are. His word is what it is. And we've got to stop being so selective, because the more selective we are to what God says, the more impaired our hearing will be according to his will for our lives. That's the way it is. And so we get to Psalms 19. Beautiful psalm. I'd recommend you read it every single day this week. It's a powerful psalm. And it starts off with what we would call the natural revelation of God. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, there are no words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes throughout all the earth into the world, the words to the end of the earth. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. And the rising to the end of its rising from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, there is nothing hidden from its heat. What is the psalmist talking about poetically? He's talking about how just the sheer presence of nature is a revelation of who God is, the creator, the majesty of who he is. It's one of my loves of being in nature, because I can't help but when I walk around nature, if I'm on a hike or this time of year, we're driving down Millam, and all of a sudden we begin to see that the tree yesterday that just seemed dark and brown and dead, all of a sudden seems a little bit greener than the day before. And there's just something about this time of year where you just get a hold of the beauty and the majesty of God and his creation. That's what the psalmist is talking about. It's like, open up your eyes. How can you deny a creator when you can just look around and see this everything unfold here in Michigan? It's this natural revelation. And then all of a sudden, the psalmist takes a little bit of a turn And he begins to give us this little section of three verses that help us to see that God not just reveals himself in nature, but he also reveals himself through his words. That's where we get natural revelation to the revelation of him in Scripture. So look here. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There's this beautiful, like, rhythm. You can almost feel the rhythm of the song, these beats that are going through these verses. And what you're going to discover that we're going to walk through in just a second is you're going to discover that God actually has six different names for the Scriptures. Then on top of that, he has six different characteristics of those said names, and then six different results. We got these three beats that take place per name, and we're going to walk through that this morning, allowing the Scriptures to challenge our hearts. So if you're a note taker, and I know that you are, I want you to write this down. Number one, the Scripture says, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, those words, the law of the Lord, is the most common words utilized for the written Scriptures. The law of the Lord. And it's a law that it's true and it's authoritative. It's true and it's authoritative. Here at K-First, every once in a while, I'll run up to somebody and says, I hear K-First doesn't believe in the Scriptures. And I'm like, well, first, number one, shouldn't gossip, because that you could look at the Scriptures and see you're not supposed to do that. Number two, you've never been with us on a Sunday, because we will always be a people of the Scriptures. They are fundamental. They are foundational. We believe they are inspired. And when we say they're inspired, we believe that they are perfectly true. What God has revealed, we believe they are truth, and we are on a journey to understand them deeper and to understand them more. But many times, what we end up doing is we dictate truth based off of our experience. All pastors, they're corrupt. Like, not all. What do you mean by that? Well, I went to a church and the pastor was stealing. I went to a church and the pastor abused. I went to a church, I'm like, have you gone to any other churches? Well, not since that, because this is what all pastors are. And I'm like, well, because you have an experience, that doesn't necessarily mean it's truth. But that's what we have in this world, is we've got this idea that my experience dictates what this is truth, or what I hear quite often people say, this is my truth. But I'm here to say that our experiences, they are important. I will never negate somebody's experience. If you've been hurt by a pastor, I would love to meet you after service, not so I can talk down to you, but so I can speak healing into your life, because what was done to you, what should have never been done to you. I'm not here to defend a pastor. I'm here to defend the victims of the abuse and the hurt that have happened in people's lives. We are not going to do that in this church in terms of defend what was wrong. We are going to rescue and help heal the brokenhearted. That's what we're supposed to do. But we also have to recognize that whatever has been our experiences, they come underneath the law of the Lord. So often we take our experiences, we hype them on top, but the word says the law of the Lord is perfect. We understand this in this church. Scripture is not optional to us. It is divine instruction. In fact, we see it as this is how life ought to be lived in the kingdom of God. The word there is perfect. In the Hebrew, that means complete. Complete. Now, if you guys ever had like a really good piece of cake, I'm talking about yellow cake with chocolate frosting. All other cake is subpar. I got a few amens. I got some people grumbling at the preacher right now. But have you ever eaten a piece of cake and you set down your fork and you say, that was perfect? Are we saying that that cake is basically Jesus? No. Probably what Jesus would eat, but no, the cake isn't Jesus. What we are saying about that thing is we're saying that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. The law of the Lord, what God has spoken, this is the way it ought to be, is what the Scripture is saying. In fact, the root of that word perfect in the Hebrew, this is so cool, it means it is all-sided, which means it covers everything. That's the authority of Scripture. Scripture is not outdated. Scripture is not something from yesteryear that doesn't have any connection to now. It covers all things. Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. And so there's sometimes that we face new challenges, because I'm here to say just because something is new to you or new to our culture doesn't mean that it's new to God. and it will not shake him from his throne. It will not remove his authority. He still lives in truth and speaks truth into our life. And look at the result in Scripture. It revives the soul. The Hebrew word is nefesh. It means the inner person. It revives the inner person. I'm trying to think, what is that? How can we illustrate that? And I thought, okay, I've got kind of a semi-disgusting illustration. Every once in a while, when you're rock climbing, it's what I do, it's what I love to do. I love rock climbing. I do it multiple times a week. And sometimes when you are climbing, you grip something and you slip off and you can pull quite a big chunk of skin off of your finger. The term is a flapper. Yeah, I just put things in your head right now. It's disgusting. So you just tape it up and you keep climbing. But when all of a sudden you look and you'll think, okay, my finger is healed, I can keep climbing. And you go to grip something and you realize, you know what hasn't come back? Is the callus. But you know what's there? Is that fresh skin that's now sensitive to the touch. What happens with the law of the Lord? It is all-sided, and the benefit is it helps create a sensitivity to our hearts that sometimes can grow callous to the things of this world. And there are times that in the presence of God, that God's got to rip off some calluses to help us to have that sensitive heart so that we know not just what he says, but we know how his voice speaks. Does that make sense this morning? See, it's not so disgusting, is it? Number two, the testimony of the Lord is perfect. Man, it is hot up here. The testimony of the Lord, is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The word sure there can mean trustworthy. Our world is often confused about what to trust and who to trust. It's rare that somebody sends me a scripture that says, I have a good authority, and they send me a scripture. What do I get? This is one of my privileges as a pastor. I get, Pastor, watch this YouTube. This must be truth because somebody made this. Pastor, have you seen this TikTok? This is what everyone's talking about. The testimony of the Lord is sure. We are so confused about who we ought to listen to, what we ought to listen to, but understand this. We ought to listen to the testimony of the Lord. What we've got here is the testimony of God from beginning to end. And the simplicity of the story is this, is humanity was made in perfection, but we took an imperfect direction. And instead of starting over, God in his redemptive heart said, I'm not going to scrap you. I'm not going to leave you behind, but I'm going to take you on a road to redemption where I'm going to show you grace. I'm going to show you mercy. I'm going to call you toward me. And then I'm going to send my son to do more than just clean up as a sacrifice one moment, one time during the day or one time during the year. But I'm going to give you redemption for everything and all for all times. This is what he has shown us. This is the testimony. And we are told that it is trustworthy. It is sure. And the result of it, this is so cool. It makes wise the simple. Anybody know a simple individual? Don't point. Simple means somebody who lacks discretion, maturity, or wisdom. The book of Proverbs, and Mr. T will use the term fool. One person knew Mr. T. Is that how old I am? Goodness gracious. The root word, now this is what's cool. The root word of the word simple, because in the Hebrew you have what it means, and then there are root words that help develop those words. The root of the word simple means open door. How many of you in your homes, I'm assuming everybody here, you live in some sort of covering, apartment, condo, home, tent, whatever you're living in. How many of you have a door? Anybody? The rest of you are lying. You're not raising your hands. We all have doors, and what do we have on those doors? We have locks, and the doors are there for a specific reason. Like for us, I don't know if our doors that keep people out as much as it's trying to keep our cats in. So I'm like, at one point, I'm like, we ought to let them out until I found out they had to have more shots and more vet bills. I'm like, no, they're staying in here. Moses, Boaz, you're staying in the house. It's the way it's going to be. But at the same time, we have our locks on the doors because it's for us to make the judgment on who gets access to our house and what we want to let out of our house. This is what the testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. The problem is we have so many simple people that are occupying the kingdom of God, and what I mean by that is they've got way too many open doors to their lives. They will let whatever come into their life, and when you let something come into your life, don't be surprised with what comes out of your life. Just models what you've allowed into your life. Lock the door. Close the door. You want to stop cussing? Stop listening to it. You want to stop filthy thoughts? Stop watching the stuff that's going to facilitate filthy thoughts. Man, filthy thoughts, that's hard to say quickly from the pulpit. But we got to get to the place where we get out of the simple mindset that simply says, I will have an open door to whatever. And we got to start stewarding what God has given us. Why? Because he wants to make us wise. The word wise means skilled in the practical aspects of holy living. Why does wise mean that? Because in Scripture says that wisdom is not about how much you know. Wisdom is not about becoming Yoda.
Many things you will know.
All right, there's my Yoda voice. Look at that. What did Pastor preach about? I don't know, but he does a pretty good Yoda. Wisdom in Scripture has very little to do with how much you know here. Wisdom in Scripture is about how well you live out here. And it takes the open door mindset, and it simply says, don't be foolish, because foolishness is knowing truth and not living it. Wisdom is, I devour the truth and I start living it out. That's wisdom. Number three, the precepts of the Lord are right. Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right. Precepts, the principles, the guidelines of the Lord are right. Now, when we talk about the word right, right is not, it's not about being in contrast to being wrong. This actually in the Hebrew is pointing toward being on the right path. In other words, when you read the scriptures, they are going to position me to make right decisions. It means that you're not going to operate in a fog. Because the result is this. Look at verse 8. There will be rejoicing of the heart. Anybody remember the days before GPS? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And have you ever gone to, don't say MapQuest, that was demonic. That never led me to the right spot. That was like flipping a coin. But have you ever gone to an area that you used to know well, and you're driving around, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm not recognizing everything, and all of a sudden something catches your eye that you remember. It becomes a landmark, and all of a sudden, once you catch that landmark, everything else now becomes familiar. This is what the scripture says, that the precepts of the Lord are just like that. That when we catch it, it immediately gives us the direction. Because when we see that thing, all of a sudden, we get a calm heart. I know where I'm at. I know which way to go now. That's what the scriptures were meant to do for our lives. That when we get the right direction, and then we begin to see it in our wise living, it brings joy to our heart. Because I know what to do in this situation. Because God has already told me. He's already revealed to me. And now I have joy in knowing the direction that I ought to go. Number four, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure. This reminds us that God's commandments are not suggestions, nor are they up to cultural preferences. Let me repeat, the commands of God are not up to cultural preferences. It is rare that I will get into a Facebook argument. Do you know why? It doesn't change anybody's mind. Some of you need to hear the word of the Lord today. Stop arguing with people on Facebook. Nobody has ever been driven into the truth by arguing on Facebook. Let the Spirit of God work on them. But I was one of those days. And somebody made a comment. Well, in today's culture, the Bible doesn't fit so well, so we need to adapt the Bible to the culture. I was reared up, I was ready, fingers touched the keyboard, then a pastor friend of mine jumped on. Says to me, and he says, why does America get to colonize the scriptures and make them bend to what we want it to be? I believe in absolute truth, but absolute truth means if it's true in America, it should be true in Zimbabwe, it should be true in Australia, it should be true in Thailand, it should be true around the world. And I believe that Jesus is absolute truth, and what he speaks and what he preaches should apply to every part of our life, no matter where you are in this world, and his commandments are there. And when we walk into alignment with his commandments, there is blessing and purity that is there. When we have the scriptures, God is basically saying to us, this is how life is set up, and if you will do this, I'll bless you. If you'll do this, you'll have joy. If you do this, you'll have fullness. If you don't do this, then I'm just going to tell you, you are inviting frustration in your life. And the result is this, it enlightens the eyes. What does that mean? The only thing I can think of is when my kids were real, real little, and ever have a kid that just, their attention is everywhere elsewhere, and they're walking next to you, and they just keep running into you? So they're a toy, and they're just doing this. And there are times I just take my kid's head and just look forward. Look forward. You know what the scripture does? Is as we are asking all these questions, God just takes our head, points us at him. It enlightens our way and says, that's the way that we ought to be living. Number five, the fear of the Lord is clean. The word clean there means without corruption, there's no evil. The fear of the Lord is clean. Another word I love for the word fear is the word reverence. Because when we have a reverence for what God has spoken to us, it has a purifying effect upon our hearts and our lives. Not only does it purify what comes out of our lives, it actually purifies, I think, one of the most important things in our life, which is the motives of our hearts. And look at the result. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In other words, when we have a reverence for what God has spoken, we recognize that God's words don't need to be updated. They don't need to be refined. They don't need to be edited. They're not outdated. They are not irrelevant. They are the same yesterday. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he spoke and what was good for Israel back in the day is really good for us now and good for us to understand. And it leads me toward the last one. And worship team, I need your help, so I'll shut up. Number six, the rules of the Lord are true. The rules of the Lord are true. Rules, this is judicial terminology. It's divine verdict. It's right. The rules, the parameters that God gives us are true. And look at the result given. It is righteous altogether. It's righteous together. In other words, when we follow what God has spoken, it has a right effect in our lives. In the New Testament, we read the word righteousness over and over by the Apostle Paul. It gives us right standing, because that's all righteousness is. It's right standing. And see, what we do when we allow the scriptures, the commandments, the precepts, the law of the Lord, the testimony of God, the rules of the Lord, the fear, the reverence of God, will we allow it to saturate our hearts? It has this beautiful, illuminating effect on our lives. And that's why the psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. I'm going to say it in the King James because that's where I learned it. Anybody else grow up in the King James? Anybody annoyed by the King James sometimes? Okay, me too. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. I don't know if y'all remember Sunday school with the flannel graph. I do. And I remember our teacher would always remind us that the words of God and what God speaks, it's a lamp. He doesn't always light up the full path, and there are times he just lights up one step at a time. Why? Because he wants us to take some steps, and the more that we continue to follow God, the more that he will illuminate in front of us. And but we nevertheless have to take steps. Pastor, I want to work on forgiveness in my life. You know what? I got a great, great thing for you to try. What do you want me to try, Pastor? Forgive. Take a step into it. And then tomorrow, take another step into it. And then tomorrow, take another step into it, because forgiveness is a moment and it is every single day. You got to walk in it. But that's what the word tells us. That's what the word challenges us. This is what the word shows us. And as we walk into that, it has this purifying, beautiful effect which brings our lives together. It's able to show us the way, to guide us. Listen, there's lots of ways, I believe, to hear the voice of God. Every once in a while, we will offer hearing from God seminars to help people learn how to hear from God. But I'm here to say this, that a majority of what most people are looking for, God has already spoken. I believe the scriptures, this is the key of keys. If you want to learn how to read it better, Tuesday nights right now, Pastor Kevin's teaching a great class, how to read the scriptures. But for some of us, we know how to read the scriptures. What we've got to do is actually crack the thing open and begin to read it. And I believe the more that we read it, we're going to understand something, it's going to read us. Idols are going to start coming down. You're going to start treating your wife a little bit better. You're going to start parenting with a little bit more intention. You're going to start bowing and worship a little bit differently. You're going to start acting and working differently at the factory. You're going to start treating that cashier a little bit differently. Because when we start hearing what God expects from us, the transformation that happens through us, it takes the simple and makes us wise. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've spoken today. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for your holy scriptures that you've given us to do more than just give us a bunch of do's and don'ts, Lord. You've given us keys to live life. Keys to know how to live as an individual in this world, whether we're single or married or whatever roads you've placed us on in this world, in the marketplace, in the workplaces, wherever we're at, Lord, you've given us a guide to speak to us. And Lord, I pray that you would develop within us an insatiable hunger for what you want for us to do and who you want us to be, God. How can we expect revival and to see a new thing happen when we have ignored everything, God, that you've already spoken? God, make us a people of your word. To have that desire for your scriptures like never before. To be a people that will walk in an attitude that simply says, Lord, whatever you say, Lord, your servant is here to listen. But to everybody else, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he turn his face towards you today and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Have an awesome Sunday. God bless.